Next slide. More details. I think I've said a lot, and a lot of it is going to sink in. But we've put together some web pages that are really encompassing all the information that I just said. I promise you that I didn't make all of it up off the top of my head right now. I certainly didn't memorize all of it. It does come from pages that we have out there that are available for you to peruse and let the information sink in a little bit more. We have a dedicated web page just to the director review process. We've developed some Q&As. These are real questions that people have had, and we've provided real answers. The two go hand in hand. When you have questions, we have answers. They're available. They're relevant to just about anybody thinking about asking for a director review. We also had a pretty extensive full-scale presentation that we've recorded and is on our website that you can take a look at and review in your own time as to how it's going. I think the next slide gives us some sense. I actually have some more updated numbers with me, just because I want to be better than the slide you're seeing. I'm going to give you some more updated numbers. We have received 187 total requests received. So that was through February 1st through February 9th. Within that 8 days, we got another 23 some requests. So the current number as of February 9th, I'm sorry, as of March 9th, I made that up, as of March 9th, is 187. There's about 11 pending, so we've worked through a lot more of them, but 176 of them have been complete. And the most important number that everyone's worrying, that is wondering, is that the two grant has now been doubled to four granted. So those numbers have shifted a little bit, and they continue to grow. I think that shows you that this is a pretty active process, Terry, and I think people are using it.
Yeah, and I think everything you put on the website is really helpful, too. Before I turn to Scott McEwen, that was a great presentation, Judge Desponde. Judge Tierney, do you have anything to add, just high level? Because we're all just going through this for the first time sort of right now. So we're going down a road that we don't necessarily see the light at the end of the tunnel, but we think we know where it is. So, Scott, if you would like to give some practical tips, strategy, helpful comments, what's on the PTO website's terrific, but practical things, and where do you think we might be going?
Sure. Thanks, Terry. I think you have to keep in mind when you're thinking about director review is that Arthrex, you know, the goal of that litigation wasn't to get a rehearing option. It was to tear down the system, frankly, right? Find this constitutional infirmity and, basically unravel the AIA, in the hopes of, in those cases, getting those patents back. Ultimately, the Federal Circuit and the Supreme Court looked at it more as a separable issue, and we ended up with this director review process to fix this constitutional infirmity that is, the APJs are not necessarily the last say of the federal government or the agency. So now we have this request for director review to allow the Senate confirmed and appointed director to have that last review, which is fixing that constitutional infirmity, and similar to what some other administrative agencies do, for example, the ITC, when a decision has to pass through the full commission. And I think, from a stakeholder perspective, it was kind of a little bit of a big nothing in that obviously it failed to pull down the system. Okay, now we have this director review, but unless you're sort of that contingent of folks out there that thought, if we get a pro patent director, suddenly the director would find every patent valid. Obviously that's not going to happen. And I think there was an initial surge in these director review filings with the hopes that would be the case. Obviously the director also has to follow substantial evidence and all of the controls that are on the panels. So not surprisingly, the vast majority of those director reviews have been denied. So from a practitioner standpoint, the value that I see in a director review, if I'm an appellant and I think that there's an issue with the decision that, I may be spending a lot of money to go up to the Federal Circuit to fix when it really should be fixed by the agency, rather than go back to the panel, that may make the record worse for me, frankly. You know, they may find some other way to justify this issue that's in the appeal. I may be more inclined to go to the director. And the reason is, if the director doesn't see it and agree with me, what I'm going to get back is a two-page decision saying I adopt the panel's reasoning as my own. So in that case, I'm not shooting myself in the foot by, you know, trying to save myself an appeal. I'm appealing to the director. If it's of the character of mistake, such as a misstatement of the law, which I think the one or two decisions that have gone favorably have been, I would expect the director to fix it and, you know, probably not make the record worse for me. So I think that's the appeal of the director review from a stakeholder standpoint. I think rehearings are taken, I don't want to say more seriously a final written decision, but you know, given that work product is going up to the federal circuit, in my experience, I've gotten more mileage on rehearings after final written decision. So I don't think I would go to the director, and I haven't, frankly, in any of my cases. So it's something you really have to think about in terms of what is the character of the issue. Is it a factual issue, in which case maybe the panel could make it worse for you? Is it a legal issue where maybe there's a misstatement of the law? So those are the instances where I would consider director review. I think there were some filers that looked at the director review as a potential way perhaps to delay an appeal. So the thinking was,